The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for Inside Hollywood, and I'm joined this week by Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster. Good morning, Dee.
Good morning.
Now, you have chosen Saturday Night Live as your theme, but that's made in New York. What's that got to do with Hollywood?
It is indeed. 30 Rockefeller Plaza, to be exact. It's got quite a lot to do with Hollywood, Pat, when you look back at the history of Hollywood comedy from the outset of the show in the late 1970s, 1975 to be exact, right through to today. There's been a whole heap of stars that have basically cut their teeth either as writers or as performers on Saturday Night Live, the show that was started by Lorne Michaels back in
I know Eddie Murphy famously, but there are so many more.
There are so many more. There's actually a fantastic book that anyone who's interested in the history of comedy or indeed the history of Hollywood would do really well to check out. It's called Wild and Crazy Guys. It's by a guy called Nick DeSemlian. And he basically looks at how, starting in the late 70s, right through the 80s, it was the stars of Saturday Night Live and actually Second City, which was the Canadian version, not Canadian version, but a similar show that came out of Canada. The kind of talent from these shows dominated the kind of cinema blockbuster scene. So you had the likes of Dan Aykroyd, you had Chevy Chase, you had Bill Murray, Jim Belushi, Gilda Radner, a huge amount of stars that came out of even that first couple of seasons in Saturday Night Live.
Now, they have also kind of begot movies, isn't that so?
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of the stars, like I said, they would have cut their teeth on this show. The show, I suppose it's important to say, it's sketch comedy. It leans heavily into improv. And it is hosted each episode from, I think, the second series on. Each episode is hosted by a star who acts alongside the performers in the skits. So that's why people will often see online clips of, say, the likes of Sabrina Carpenter or Taylor Swift or somebody in a sketch. It's with the cast of Saturday Night Live. So they'll spend the week with them, with the writers, and they'll come up with sketches around the performers.
And even Elon Musk has actually hosted.
Yeah, less said about that, the better. But behind the scenes in it, it's such an interesting sort of world, I think, because I've kind of split it into to decade by decade. So that first era of 1975 to 1985, It was hugely successful. The name of that book that I referenced actually comes from Steve Martin, who was never a cast member, but he has actually hosted it more times than anybody else. But he actually referred to himself as a wild and crazy guy. And he said the first time he saw Saturday Night Live, he was looking at it going, these guys have captured the zeitgeist. And a lot of them have parlayed their success on the show and the familiarity of audiences with them into big Hollywood careers and left the show as a result.
Now, let's talk about some of the movies that derived from Saturday Night Live. And the first one, Blues Brothers.
Yeah, so this was in 1980. So smack bang in the middle of that first decade. Chevy Chase had already left to pursue a Hollywood career after the first season, and it had really left a bad taste in the mouths of other cast members. There was very famously a massive physical bust-up between himself and Bill Murray backstage when he came back to guest host. Jim Belushi left, and Dan Aykroyd actually left after the 1979 season to make Blues Brothers, a lot of people were very unhappy about it, but it became a massive Hollywood hit. And it's probably the one that sort of shows why Hollywood producers kept going back to this cast.
We have a short clip.
I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake, a terrible flood. Locust, it wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Yeah, it was a mad movie and
a
box office smash.
Absolutely huge smash. And I think the thing is, a lot of Irish audiences would only ever have encountered these comedians through their Hollywood films, because we wouldn't have necessarily had access to watching the original show in that period of time.
Talk to me about Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. So Wayne's World came out in 1992, and it came about after the show had been completely recast in 1985. It had kind of started to die a death and was nearing cancellation. And so Lorne Michaels, who had previously left, came back on board as the producer, and he brought in a whole fresh roster of talent, which included, of course, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey. And they went on to make Wayne's World, which was actually born out of not just the talent on SNL, but in fact, a skit that originally started on SNL. They had these two characters, Wayne and Garth, who play like who had their own TV show on a kind of sort of public service network. And that's how the film came about, and another massive hit.
This is my best friend, Garth Elgar.
Hi.
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo.
Galileo.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Whoa, still.
Phil, what are you doing here? You're partied out, man. Again.
What if he honks in the car?
I'm giving you a no-honk guarantee.
Phil, if you're gonna spew, spew into this.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we wanna let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we wanna let you go.
Let him go!
And I think we've all karaoke to that one.
We absolutely have, doing the headbanging that they famously do in the car. Funny thing about that is a lot of kind of rock fans were quite upset at how that was used in the film. But in fact, Freddie Mercury had seen the scene before it was released and he was quite happy with it. Led to a huge resurgence of interest in a whole new generation for Queen.
Now, the show, as you said before, seemed to face the axe regularly.
Yeah.
And out of another almost axing, we get another movie we want to talk about, which is Anchorman.
Yeah, so Anchorman would have come out, I think he came out in 2004. And in 1995, again, it sort of goes in peaks and troughs of almost decades. Things were really, you know, not looking great for it. It was about to be cancelled. And at that point, they brought on like probably some of the most famous in Irish terms cast members. You had the likes of Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, Rachel Dratch. Tina Fey actually was the first, I think, female head writer on the show. And she obviously turned those experiences into the brilliant TV show 30 Rock, which is based on a similar style show. But obviously that's a TV program, Pat, so I couldn't choose a clip of that. So instead, because it's coming out of an era that was probably the real rise of female comedy on the show, I said, why not choose the movie that parodies the male ego in the workplace? And that, of course, is Anchorman.
What cologne are you going to go with? London Gentleman or... Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight.
No. She gets a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, let's go see if we can make this little kitty purr. Hey, sweet cheeks. Got an invite I'd like to extend your way.
My God. What is that smell?
Oh.
That's a smell of desire, m'lady.
God, no, it smells like a used diaper filled with Indian food. Oh, excuse me.
You know, desire smells like that to some people.
What is that? It smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that clip, as awful as some of the sentences in it are, it does really, really show the sort of improv style of this type of comedy. Like, the outtakes from any of those movies made by what became termed as the Frat Pack in the late noughties are just filled with them trying to one-up each other with the most ridiculous phrasing. Because very often they'll start a scene with an idea of where the story should go, and then they actually just improv their own words or their own takes or quips on it, and that leads to stuff like Anchorman.
So that latest generation, the Frat Packs, who are they?
Yeah, so I mean, that's not necessarily the latest generation, but it would be definitely the generation I think Irish audiences would be most familiar with. You've got Vince Vaughn. Well, the Frat Pack kind of came out of Will Ferrell's participation, but you've like Vince Vaughn, Paul Rudd, Owen and Luke Wilson and Steve Carell. They all went on and made a heap of films together. And then separately to that, you had Tina Fey and Amy Poehler doing a lot of work together as well. So huge amount of great comedy coming out of that era.
I heard one of the participants in Saturday Night Live saying it's often hard to get very funny archive clips because the comedy is always of the moment.
It is.
And it doesn't necessarily translate to a decade or two decades later.
Yes. And there's a lot of stuff there that you probably, like, kind of modern sensibilities would actually be quite shocked by. And then they did always do a lot of political stuff as well, which doesn't necessarily hold the same weight now as, you know, a clip on a sketch on Reagan isn't going to hit us the same way that it would have audiences at the time.
And of course, we live in parlous times. So will Saturday Night Live survive the Musk and Trump era?
I mean, it's hard to know, Pat, because, you know, how do you satire something like that? And a lot of the performers involved are probably horrified by what they see coming down the tracks as well. It makes it hard to laugh.
Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster. Dee, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.